know and love the one who made us. And so we pray that you would continue to bless us now as we read from your word, that you would encourage us and perhaps challenge us as well, and enable us to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you'll take one of those Blue Pew Bibles and turn to page 1183. It's 1183 in the New Testament, the book of Colossians and chapter 2. I love starting something new, a new book or a new course. We're starting a new sermon series today in Colossians. And I would say right at the start, I think you'll find it very helpful to read Colossians during the week, perhaps each week while we're preaching on it, right the way through the letter. It only takes about 10 minutes, and that is the way we would read any letter, isn't it? Unfortunately, our approach to reading the Bible in church can be a bit unnatural. I mean, we tend to read short texts on their own without perhaps much understanding of what has gone before or what has been written immediately afterwards. You would never read any other letter which you ever received that way. But I suppose in church, the best we can do because of time constraints is read the paragraphs of a letter consecutively over a period of weeks so as we get the flow of what is being said. However, at home, you'll be amazed, you will, by what you can learn just by reading Colossians all the way through in one sitting. And I would encourage you to do that several times if possible. Let's have some background to this wonderful letter of Paul. In 1885, archaeologists excavated the town of Colossae. It's in what we call today Turkey. I've got a map there. It's not a great map. It's hard to get a good map that you can see, but it's just to give you an idea of roughly where Colossae was in Turkey. A small town, a rural town, insignificant really, except that the Apostle Paul once wrote a letter to the Christians there. Paul had never been to Colossae, and he certainly couldn't go at the time that he was writing this letter, because he was actually in prison. We're told that at the end of the letter, chapter 4, verse 18, the very last verse, "I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand," which perhaps indicates he was using a secretary for the rest of the letter, "remember my chains." So he was in prison, probably in Rome. About the closest he ever got to Colossae was a long visit, a couple of years that he spent in Ephesus, which you might be able to see on that map. Just close to Colossae. Ephesus was a much, much bigger town. And Acts chapter 19 tells us that Paul was in Ephesus for 2 years, that he hired a schoolhouse to preach the gospel in. It belonged to a schoolmaster called Tyrannus, Tyrannus meaning tyrant, so a stern headmaster, we can assume, at the schoolhouse. And Jews and Gentiles came from all around Ephesus to hear Paul teach about Jesus. How Jesus was God's King who died on the cross for our sins, the one who had risen from the dead. There was good news in Ephesus, and the word soon spread that Paul was teaching this gospel. But Paul never got to go to Colossae. Instead, one of his colleagues did, and his name was Epaphras. You just glance back to chapter 1 and verse 6. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So this man Epaphras brought the remarkable good news of Jesus to the Colossians. Perhaps he had become a Christian through Paul's ministry in Ephesus. We don't know for sure, but he's a Colossian himself. We know that much. Again, this is, I think, my last reference, but chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says at the end of the letter again, chapter 4, verse 12, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. See, Epaphras is one of you, says Paul. He's a Colossian. And I think that it's likely that he heard the gospel in Tyrannus's schoolhouse in Ephesus, and then he brought that gospel back home, back to his hometown near Ephesus, Colossae. And so he hears a message that shakes him to the core. And he believes it, he takes it to heart, it transforms him, and then he can't help but tell his friends and neighbours in Colossae. And the result is that a church is founded, probably in somebody's home. A group of Christians begin to meet, a house church, maybe more than one house church. The gospel has come to Colossae, thanks to this man Epaphras. He's a great example, I think. If we could be like Epaphras, if we could have the courage to share the faith, anything could happen. We could have a whole new influx of friends coming to church and coming to Christ. And this is the background to the letter of Colossians. There's one other thing I think to say, just as we introduce it this morning. It is that, as we've seen, Paul had never been to the church in Colossae. But here he is writing to the Christians there. He is their apostle. And that makes me think of us at Knockbreda. We too are a church which the apostle has never been to. And so what he says to the Colossians are the sort of things that he might have said to us. It's that sort of letter. It's that sort of letter with universal, applicable Christian teaching. And not only that, but at the end of the letter, chapter 4, verse 16, he tells the Colossians to pass on this letter to the church in Laodicea and to get the Laodiceans to read it, which means that the message that he has for the Colossians is relevant to other Christians elsewhere. And that goes for people like us as well. It's not just about specific problems in Colossae, but rather it's a letter for all churches, Knockbreda, all churches in Belfast, worldwide, everywhere, as we'll definitely see over the next couple of weeks. So that's a brief background to Colossians. And now all we're going to do this morning is to get the gist of this letter. And we're going to do something that we should never do, which is to jump into the middle of the letter and read one verse. Now, this is normally madness when it comes to reading a book of the Bible, or any book, to dive into the middle of it without reading what comes before or what comes after. I mean, as I say, you would never read any letter that you received in the post like that, would you? You'd start at the beginning and you'd read it right through. You'd maybe go over it again and again to really understand it. And as I say, I hope you could do that with Colossians, even this week at home and over the next few weeks as we study it on Sunday mornings, to find out what it is all about. It's crazy just to read one text out of context and preach on it. And yet, I hope you will trust me to do that this morning, because I have read this letter over and over, and though we will read it through from start to finish over these next seven Sundays, this one particular short text summarizes its message. I mean, why has God included this particular letter in his word? Do you know what it's all about? Could you tell me the difference between the message of Colossians and, say, the message of Romans? We need to know the main thrust of this book. And Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 encapsulates that. Here's the message of Colossians in a nutshell. Here it is, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You know, if you were to memorize those verses, you would basically understand this particular book of the Bible. And I hope you'll see over the next few minutes and over the next few weeks how relevant this message is. It's extremely applicable to us and to the church today. Just think about the first part of it. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. The apostle is writing to people in Colossae who have received Christ Jesus as Lord. That is how the Colossians have become Christians. That's how anyone becomes a Christian. They receive Christ Jesus as Lord. In their case, Epaphras told them the gospel, that extraordinary good news about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He told them how they must repent because they have not been living with Jesus as their king. By nature, none of us have. And so they did repent and they received Christ Jesus as Lord. And it's important, that little phrase, Christ Jesus as Lord. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. And that just means anointed one. The anointed one in Israel was the king, anointed when a jug of oil was poured over his head. So the Christ was the special king, the anointed one. Jesus, of course, was the historical first century Jew from Nazareth who lived in Galilee, died in the year 33 AD. He is the one whom we are to receive as the Christ, as the king, as the Lord. He is Lord of this cosmos, Lord of everything. And the Colossian Christians have accepted that. They've received that. They've received Christ Jesus as Lord. And so now he is also Lord of their lives. He's their boss. He's their ruler. And that is what a Christian is. Someone who is living under the rule, the lordship of Jesus Christ. We do not just receive him as a kind of invisible friend into our hearts, which is what we so often hear. We do not even just receive him as Savior. We must receive him as Lord, where we offer him our total allegiance, our total obedience. He's not a kind of cosmic butler to be there at our beck and call. No, it's the other way around. We obey him. We obey his commands, found in his word, and only in his word. A Christian has received Christ Jesus as Lord. Verse 6. However, that is only the beginning, an essential beginning, but just the start of the Christian life. The message of Colossians is really about how to progress once we have begun. How do you progress as a Christian? So, verse 6 again. Let me read it. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Now, it's a surprise, but the most important words in that verse are probably just as. Do you see that verse 6? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Paul wants the Colossian Christians to continue their life in Christ just as they began it. They're not to continue in a different way, in a new way. They're not to set off down a new path. No, live the Christian life just as you started it. You started with the gospel. You received Christ. Continue with the gospel. Now, this is a big problem, actually, for many Christians today, that having heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, having believed the gospel, having become Christians, they start looking for something else. They start looking for some new experience, some new religious practice. As the years roll on from their conversion, the simplicity of the gospel that they believed, well, somehow becomes a bit less satisfying to some Christians. They become a bit restless. They want something new, a new kind of spiritual blessing. I remember staying with a lovely elderly Christian lady when I was a student on placement. And she really was a lovely, lovely person. And she used to tell me that she never missed church, never, because she didn't want to miss out on any fresh blessing from God. And in some ways that was commendable, but she hadn't really understood Colossians. The problem is that if we are always wanting something new from God, we'll always be tempted to go astray from him. Because we'd be prone to listen to the person who sidles up and says, I'm glad you've got the gospel. I'm glad you've received Christ. I'm glad you've become a Christian, but have you tried this as well? Have you tried that? Have you had this recent spiritual experience? Have you had this recent religious blessing? Have you fulfilled all your religious duties? And you might begin to think that being a Christian is not enough. And there's lots of tempters who say those sort of things today, lots of them, which is one reason why there are so many new independent churches springing up, which there are. We could call people like that gospel plus people. Basically, there are two types of heresy or false teaching which lead churches into apostasy, which lead to dead churches. They are the gospel plus and the gospel minus heretics. A heretic being someone who would lead us astray from true saving Christianity. The gospel minus people are easy to spot, and there are many of them. They say things like, Jesus is not the only way to God. The Bible is not really God's word. Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, say that, and others. They say that Jesus did not really die for the sins of the world. Jesus did not really rise bodily from the tomb. Jesus is not returning as judge. Live life any way you please, because God does not really care. He's not spoken. They take away bits from the gospel and try to persuade that somehow Christianity will still be possible without those bits. And that's one kind of very obvious danger for the churches, the gospel minus people. However, the second sort of false teaching is even worse because it's much more subtle. Anyone can recognize the gospel minus people. We can easily tell that Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong because they take away from the gospel when they say that Jesus is not really God, for example. But the second type is the gospel plus heresy. And they say, well, you've got the gospel and that's great. You've got Jesus as Lord, super, you've become a Christian. Now, what about something else? Something extra? Something that will take you into a new spiritual realm? Have you had a second blessing? No? Well, then you're really missing out. Have you been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or Rome or some sacred place? No, then your religion needs to expand. Have you fasted or meditated or done some of the spiritual exercises of the medieval saints? No, but they would take you onto a new spiritual plane. Yes, by all means believe the gospel, they say, but there's something else as well. And they are the gospel plus people. And Paul says, do not go off looking for something new or something extra. Never be dissatisfied with the gospel. Rather, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in him. Don't take away from him or away from his word, but don't add to him either. In fact, if you add anything to the gospel, you're really taking away from it. So keep on the gospel line, neither going below it by subtracting from the word, nor going above it by adding to the word. Both mistakes are wrong. And verse 7 emphasizes this as well. Look at our text again, please, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Well, there are two images there, two pictures, two illustrations there in verse 7. First of all, the very helpful imagery of a tree. The Colossian Christians are to be like a tree with deep, deep roots, firmly planted in Christ, firmly rooted in him. Trees grow, and they grow upward, and they grow their roots. And Christians are to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the word. It's what we're doing now in this sermon. We're growing our roots. Christians grow like a tree. If a tree is not growing, it is dead. However, trees don't move around. They stay on the one spot. And Christians are not to move around, not to leave behind how they started. Trees might be blown about a bit in a windy storm, but their roots keep them fixed to the same spot And that's what keeps them secure. Just as you started with the gospel, stay rooted in it. And then the second image of verse 7 is of a building. The Colossian Christians are to be like a solid building, one which is under construction. There's one near me at the moment. It's been fascinating to watch the foundations laid and the walls go up and the roof go on. It's going up and up, getting bigger and stronger. But again, like the tree, it's on the same spot. Buildings don't move around. They grow upwards, but their foundations keep them fixed to the same spot forever. And we're being reminded by the apostle, if we are Christians, not to move around, not to move on to a new spiritual experience, to new things, to new spiritual groups or societies, not to leave behind the gospel and say, well, that was good for me at the start, but really I've matured now and I've moved on to bigger and better things. I know more than I did at the start. To be honest, that's a bit arrogant. Rather, stay rooted in what you first believed, the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Remain on the same ground. Grow upwards in strength, and as you put your roots down, grow further and further into that gospel as you read it and meditate on it and understand it, but don't leave behind what you heard at first. And this is what Paul wants for the Christians at Colossae. End of verse 7, they are to be strengthened in the faith as they have been taught it, where the faith is that verbal gospel message which they heard from Epaphras way back when they became Christians. And it's the same for us. The faith is a body of words, the Word of God contained in the Holy Scriptures, which we can understand and take to heart and which we can grow in. And so our short text this morning is a summary of this important little letter to the Colossians. Again, try to read it this week, please, if you can, remembering about how the letter is going to be about receiving Jesus, the historical Jesus of Nazareth, as Christ, the King, the specially anointed one, who had been expected for a long time, to receive him as Lord, Lord of the world and boss of our lives. And secondly, about how the letter is about continuing in this Christ, to continue to live our Christian lives really just as we started them, not moving on to spiritual fads, but waiting patiently to see God face to face in the next world and being wonderfully satisfied now with a marvelous, marvelous gospel message about our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a message about continuing